worship you and we sing and we just meditate. Oh, the wonderful cross. Lord, what you've done for each one of us, for us, what you did, the victory we have because you suffered and you died on the cross. Lord, but you are risen. You're alive forevermore. Lord, and we thank you for that, and we magnify you. Lord, that you're seated at the right hand of the Father, and we are with you there in the heavenly places. Lord, we do. We see you high and lifted up, and your train fills the temple. Lord, we thank you, and we glorify you. Lord, we come with praise and adoration. But Lord, we also come crying out for those that are hurting. We cry out for our nation. We cry out, Lord, we ask that your Holy Spirit would just move upon this earth, would move upon this land. Lord, just cause people to awaken. Awaken the people to come back to you. Lord, just awaken people to come to you. Lord, just move. Move, Lord. And we thank you and we magnify you. And Lord, we just lift the tithes and the offerings up to you this morning. Lord, you said if we would bring the tithes and the offerings into your storehouse, that you'd open up the windows of heaven and you'd pour out wholeness upon us. And Lord, that you said that the devourer would be rebuked off of our lives. And Lord, we just declare, decree that the devourer is rebuked off of our lives. Lord, we thank you and we glorify you. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. Tuesday evening, 7 o'clock, 7 p.m., the healing room's in Mission. Tuesday morning at 6:30 is prayer here. Wednesday night at 6 p.m. is Bible study. Thursday night is at 7 p.m. is healing rooms here. Amen? Amen. Amen. It's Sunday, Wanda. Oh, I forgot that. Praise God. I'm going to share what I shared with Francis a while ago. He wanted to know how old I was, and he said he's 10 years older now when he gets his next birthday. And I said, praise God. You know, by the time he and I both are 90, we're going to look like we're 40. I'll tell you another story on myself. There's where I got my airplane, the engine put in. They have a picture on the wall of a 92-year-old man, and his family had given him this engine conversion that I got done on my airplane, and he's still flying. And they told me the other day, I made the statement, when I'm 92 years old, I want to still be doing what that man is. And now he's 94, and he flies to Iceland. I mean, he goes over, and he's still flying, 94 years old still, and he goes on these trips. So, I guess, I don't know. Well, yeah, the Lord. Well, what, dear? Anyway, they said he would put foam in the wings of the airplane because if he happens to go down in the water, he said, I'm I can't get out fast enough, so my airplane afloat. Really, that's kind of amazing, amen? So that I have something to look forward to, you know. Not flying to Iceland. I don't want to fly to Iceland, but praise God. I want David to share with us about Ukraine, because they've ministered over there. He's got family, kids that are over there, and then I want him to share, and then I want him to lead us in prayer. We need to really be praying for the mess that's going on over there, amen, that God's will be done. God will straighten out the mess. David? Yeah, you can come up. Let Wanda. I don't think you'd.
All right. I'm sure some of you are following the news, a lot going on in Venezuela, various places, but Eastern Europe's always had their interesting troubles of different, the people don't stay inside the borders of the country, different people groups are inside the borders, and the Ukraine has the problem that they've got regular Ukrainians, but they also have Russians and other groups in that country, and some of the Ukrainians are even more see themselves aligned with Russia. Some of them more see themselves wanting to be aligned with Europe and the United States. And so it's led to a swinging back and forth of who's governing the country, whether they're more favorable to Europe and the United States or more favorable to Russia. And of course, Russia very much wants them to be favorable to Russia and still be possibly even part of their empire again in one case. So that's what's been basically going on. I haven't followed every last detail, but there's been basically sort of a revolution in the Ukraine where they had at one time had an elected government that was with the U.S. and for the last some years they've been under an elected government that was favorable to Russia, but quite clearly corrupt and hard-handed, and had put the opposition leader under arrest in a hospital, and she wasn't getting even the proper treatment for her back injuries or back problems. So that's what they were going to do. Well, the people said, you know, enough is enough, and they were having demonstrations and everything. And over a period of a few weeks, things changed. And what I hadn't even realized till I just felt led to do some research last night, but the people that were sort of the revolution, there was some of it was demonstrations, but a lot of it was prayer. And you're going to have mostly not what we would consider evangelicals or charismatic Pentecostal people. You're going to have mostly Catholics and Orthodox and Byzantine type people in pretty much any Eastern European country. But they still cried out to God in the name of Jesus. And basically just overnight, the parliament got up one morning and threw the president out, including his own party. Some of his own party helped throw him out. And he's now in Russia. And when they found his mansion, which was all walled up, it was just tremendous opulence where the country's got some worse economic problems than we have, and he's living in all these servants and all sorts of stuff in there. And they weren't like a lot of other countries where they right away put up signs, we're not going to have any looting here. They put militias out there. They protected it. We're going to have a museum of what happened here. And so what's now happened is Russia's not happy with this. And some, like I say, many of you have probably heard this, but they have, you know, we were afraid all along they'd do something. And where it's very personal to me, as Pastor Art mentioned, and I'm not against Russians because my precious daughter, son-in-law, and granddaughter are there to minister in Russia. And I mean, we love Russians. We're not against Russians. But they, in fact, and they live about 4 hours from the part of the Ukraine where the worst activity is right now, the Crimea, in a town called Krasnodar, or a city called Krasnodar. And the military bases where Russian troops come from and planes are in Krasnodar. And so, but basically, local militia, the Crimea is a little peninsula, which many of you know, juts down into the Black Sea. And Russia has military bases there. It's very important to the strategic area. There's wars that go way back before World War I that were fought in the Crimea. It's been a very important part of Europe as far as wars. So basically, the local Russian-speaking people, because that area is, I think we checked it last night, is 58% Russian-speaking. You know, have basically rebelled. They don't want to be part of Ukraine now. They want to be part of Russia, in essence. And so Russia sent some troops and occupied Last I knew, there was what little Ukrainian army was in the Crimea was surrounded by Russians about to be arrested. So this is what's going on, if you didn't know it. But so that's what we need to pray about. And as I was praying and studying this last night, I realized that, you know, God can really intervene in this. We're very concerned. I've been talking to my daughter and son-in-law about once or twice a day lately to make sure they're okay, and they're right now calm, things are calm, and they're not planning to take any action, but we don't know what they'll have to do as time comes along, and we need to be ready to help them depending on what might have to happen, because our country's basically just talking economic sanctions and working with Europe. We really probably couldn't, if we wanted to do anything militarily on this situation, you know. None of us would want to see that. So that's where the situation is. But again, as I was studying, what I was saying is just like that one guy could be dealt with, the puppet president that was in there, if I can be that political. God can deal with the whole leadership in a way that's beneficial to the Ukraine, to Russia, and to other parts of Eastern Europe, which even a few weeks ago, God was talking to me about studying out Eastern Europe, and there's Croatia was a country he was leading me to study out, because he said, I sense it's not just my children, that there's a time that I'm going to have something to do with Eastern Europe. It's basically what the Lord's telling me, so personally. So that's the background, and I guess now it's time to pray, and I'm just going to read a few of the verses from the psalm that these nuns prayed few days or just before the president changed. And oh yeah, I missed that part. Yeah, that's very important. Thank you for reminding me, Pastor. Yeah, he's a Baptist minister, and I didn't know that till last night, till I studied that out too. That the acting president is he was the Speaker of the Parliament, and he might have been elected as Speaker of the Parliament because. He wouldn't have been even in the majority party a few weeks ago. Basically, the majority party had to switch sides and go against their own president to get this thing done. But he became the speaker and then was chosen within a day or so to be the acting president until hopefully what the Ukraine hopes to do is in the fall have some new elections, new fair elections, and see where they want to go. So, yeah, he is a Baptist minister, which is unusual because basically nowhere in Eastern Europe do you even have a Protestant majority, much less, you know, a few evangelicals, charismatics, and Pentecostals scattered in Eastern Europe. There are some, in Hungary you have some Calvinists, some old Calvinist-type Protestants, but most of the Protestants are gone from Eastern Europe or there just weren't that many there in the first place. So that's unusual that that's the case, and so we see God moving even in that. He is really... Not behind him is a lady by the name of Yulia Tymoshenko, who's the opposition leader, and they didn't want to put her right in as president, and also she's recovering from her health issues. But I mean, it's still nobody's perfect in this. Like nobody's perfect here. I mean, there's definitely wild politics on all sides, and she has her interesting history and story. I've studied up on her a little bit, but we need to pray for her. We need God to move in her life, and so. I guess I'll just read a couple of verses, and this Psalm 109 has some things that I probably wouldn't pray what those nuns prayed, because I'm very cautious under the age of grace to like pray even scripture that would put a curse on somebody, but Psalm 109 has verses in it that can put a curse on somebody, and says, "Be not silent, O God of my praise, for wicked and deceitful mouths are opened against me, speaking against me with lying tongues. They encircle me with words of hate. They attack me without cause. They return for my love. They accuse me. But I give myself to prayer, so they reward me evil for good and hatred for my love. Appoint a wicked man against him. Let an accuser stand at his right hand. When he is tried, let him come forth guilty. Let his prayer be counted as sin," and then it goes on, "may his days be few," all those kinds of things that I'm not going to pray today, but, against anybody, but let may his posterity be cut off, and just things like that. And let's get down to the end of this. If we go to verse 21 of Psalm 109, "But you, O God, my Lord, deal on my behalf for your name's sake, because your steadfast love is good, deliver me. For I am poor and needy, and my heart is stricken within me. I'm gone like a shadow at evening. I'm shaken off like a locust. My knees are weak through fasting. My body has become gaunt with no fat. I'm abject of scorn to my accusers. And go on to the closing verses here. Verse 30, with my mouth I will give great thanks to the Lord. I will praise him in the midst of the throng, for he stands at the right hand of the needy one, to save him from those who condemn his soul to death. And so we have a brother in the president of the Ukraine right now, or the acting president. I mean, there are precious people. And, as I was even preparing, I mean, like I said, I have more stake really in the people of Russia. I mean, and I've got people on the ground that love Russia and are giving their life for Russia. And so I just want to pray for God to intervene in this situation over the next few weeks. And I said, I don't know what my family is going to go through in this over the next few weeks. So we're making certain plans of how we might have to help in this situation. Like, we talked about sending, we might have to send, in a worst case, Sarah to Europe to help them come home. That kind of things we're starting to think about, what things like that. So I'm hoping it doesn't come to that. I mean, they're settled in nicely there, and they're making relationships and things, but we don't know. And so we want to pray for Russia and the Ukraine and all of Eastern Europe right now. And I especially pray for one thing that, and it's sort of off the track to a one cent, that I'm just really beginning to realize how important it is to pray for our children and our grandchildren and our descendants to come. That's something that I sort of knew to do, but I'm only getting the revelation of that. I'm going to be 60 this week, and I'm only getting the revelation of how important this is. And I've been a grandfather for like 3 years now, and I didn't realize how important it is. So probably in the course we'll finish up, and we can pray for all of our grandchildren and great-grandchildren, because some of us have them as we do that. Thank you, Lord. Probably many of us do in this room. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I just thank you. Thank you, Lord, that you have done wonderful things in the Ukraine and changing, even all the years that they've had freedom as they've been free of being part of the Soviet Union. And good things have happened. There can be missionary activity, whatever it takes, for a man of God to be standing there in the position of power right now. And I don't know his name. I can't remember it right now. And I can't say a lot of these Ukrainian names. But Lord, I just ask you to strengthen him and give him wisdom, protect him, give your angels charge concerning him at this time. And he has such great responsibility. It impacts even the whole, even us, even the decisions he makes impacts the entire world right now. So thank you that you brought him there for such a time as this. We pray for the other leaders, those that do and do not know you in the opposition, and even those that have recently come over and joined into a coalition to lead this country forward. And so, Lord, we just ask you to move mightily. We don't want you to hurt anybody. We want you to put people in position. If people need to come out, Lord, we ask you to take them out in such a way that it draws them to you, that they have a desire to know you, and that they turn away from their wicked ways and repent and walk in fellowship with you. We pray that especially for President Putin. We don't want the slightest bad thing to happen to him, but we want every good thing that could possibly happen in his life to happen, so that he might fulfill the plans and purposes that you have for him, and that you would put whoever you want into the leadership of the great nation of Russia, so that Russia would be a place where the gospel could continue to be preached freely, or relatively freely, where people could come to know you and pray in freedom, which they did not have under communism. And so, Lord, we just ask you to move that way. And I do pray for missionaries in Russia, Ukraine, other parts of Eastern Europe to be safe at this time, especially for those that are so close to me and my daughter, son-in-law, and my little granddaughter. And Lord, we just ask you to bless them and strengthen them, particularly my family, in a way that they fulfill every plan and purpose that you have for their lives now while they're in Russia and maybe traveling, and even through other times and places and things that you would have for them in your life. And then we pause and we take this time to pray for our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren, our children, our children-in-law, that your will might be done in their lives, of every person in this room that has descendants or will have descendants, that our descendants will serve you all the days of their lives and fulfill the plans and purposes that you have for them. In Jesus' name.
Juan, come up here. We're going to pray for your ankle. Juan got his ankle hurt yesterday playing soccer, so let's just, I want to pray for him. And we watched God do a miracle in this young, in Juan's life many, many years ago, and he's going to do another one, Juan. Amen. Come on, everybody. Let's Father, we thank you, and we thank you for your goodness and your mercy. You said if there's any sick amongst you, let them call on the elders of the church. They'll pray the prayer of faith. They'll anoint them with oil, and they shall be healed. And Lord, we just speak healing to one's ankle right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, just touch him and let healing flow into that ankle that is just perfect strength and healing. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. Lord, we just thank you and we magnify you. Lord, we just pray for Norman. We speak healing to his ankle, to his leg, to what's causing the inflammation and the circulation, bad circulation. We come against it right now. In the name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you. As Ginger stands in for Norman, we speak healing to him in the name of Jesus. Amen. 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 Praise God. Wanda, have you got your reading? Would you read Matthew, the 6th chapter, verses 12 through 15?
And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if you forgive their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses.
You know, we shared some weeks ago about, we touched on forgiveness, but I just really sensed in my spirit that we needed to go and look at it again. You know, forgiveness is not just a word. It's not just a good idea. It's not just something we're supposed to do. We can know for sure that forgiveness must be of great importance because Jesus, in the Lord's Prayer, and then in verse 14 and 15, he says, when you forgive, I'll forgive you. If you don't forgive, I'm not going to forgive you. You know, and I've come to realize and believe that forgiveness is a spiritual force. Perhaps it's a spiritual force to me as strong as faith. The word translated as forgive in the Greek means, its meaning is to send away. To bid going away or depart. To send forth. To yield up or to expire. To let go. To let alone and let it be. That's what forgive in the Greek means. It's to send away. So let this life, and it to me, it's a transforming truth needs to soak into our spirit for a moment that forgiveness takes a specific debt that has already been manifested. And when you have unforgiveness, or somebody's living in a state of unforgiveness, and they have bitterness towards somebody, they have a debt. But forgiveness takes that thing that's already manifested and sends it away, causing it to cease to exist. Have you ever seen somebody that's been so involved in and has so much bitterness and so much unforgiveness toward other people that they're just consumed? They're consumed and they can't live an overcoming, happy life. They're just consumed with that. This, when they walk in forgiveness, when they get the revelation and they forgive, that's like casting that thing. It casts it away. So that's the reason why I say it's like faith. It's a spiritual force. You know, we know that faith reaches into the realm of possibilities and causes a specific possibility to manifest. In Hebrews, the 11th chapter, verse 1.
Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen.
So faith takes things that are not seen and makes them a reality. Forgiveness works exactly the same, only the other way around. Forgiveness takes a specific debt that has already manifested, a sin, a hurt, an offense, and sends it away, causing it to cease to exist. That's the reason why I say it's a spiritual force. It can do that. In other words, forgiveness takes things that are seen and makes them a non-reality. You know, in Psalms 103, verse 12, it says, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. And when we forgive those, when we forgive people, when we forgive, that's what happens. In other words, I think I shared it several weeks ago, Christianity is a life of forgiveness. It's not something that we just occasionally do. We have to walk in forgiveness forever. Forgiveness and faith are cornerstones of Christianity. We need to let this soak into our spirit. Forgiveness takes a specific debt that has already manifested and sends it away, causing it to exist. You know, offenses will come. Offenses will come. In Luke 17, verses 1 through 4, it says, then he said to the disciples, it is impossible that no offense shall come, but woe to him whom they do come. And you know what? Sad to say, but offenses usually come at the most inopportune times and through people closest to you. And the word that is translated as offenses means it's like a movable stick, you know, a trap that's got a stick that when you pull that stick, the trap falls down and catches whatever's went in there. That's what it's talking about, that an offense is. It's that stick that pulls and the trap falls on you. It's a snare. Causes many, many times it causes us to fall and to stumble. So an offense is a trap. And many live their lives struggling in the all-consuming trap of offenses. You know, often those who are offended easily are the same ones who seem to offend others easily. You just look at people that are walking basic unforgiveness, but they're offended all the time. It seems like it just grabs them, but they're offending people all the time. Amen? Do you know anybody like that? I don't. Praise God. And those who operate in the principle of offenses many, many times will take up the offenses of others and make it their own. Don't take up others' offenses. It will consume you just like it's consuming them and the other people that offended them. You know, it's so easy to come to the place that you hurt my wife. I'm using wives because that's the closest thing we have, or husbands. And so I'm going to be bitter at you too. Or you've hurt my good friend, what you've done. So I'm going to be angry at you too. Have we ever done that? Only one person nodded. Yes, but we have to forgive them. We have to release them. You know what? God can deal with people better than we can deal with people. Amen? Amen. He can deal. Offense is a principality of the mind that can permeate and damage all our relationships. I mean, it can eat us up. We can have an offense against somebody else, or somebody's having an offense against us, and then we can let that offense go and affect those that we love, those that we care for, because we're just on edge. We're on edge. But if he could forgive us, we can forgive others. If Christ is in us, then his forgiveness is in us also. If he could forgive us, we can forgive others. If Christ is in us, and Christ is in each one, anybody that belongs to Jesus, amen, who has given their life to him, who've turned ownership of their life over to him, he is in you. And if he is in them, in us, then his forgiveness is also in us. You know what I've come to realize and see? That the root of offense is self. After all, I deserve better. They should know that. I'm due this. Didn't you know that? You're not supposed to do that. This all about me thing can really get you. All about me. You know one thing that I've come to find out? That it's hard for spiritual people to admit that they are offended. After all, how unspiritual is being offended? Certainly not me. I'm not offended. As we were coming, driving to church this morning, and I've been meditating on some things, and I told Nan, I said, my message is, I've got to ask forgiveness. There's just some thoughts I've been having against some people. Not bad, bad thoughts, just, you know, why don't they do this? Why don't they do that? Why didn't this happen? You know, sometimes we expect things from people, and so we can build up an offense about it. Amen? Not anybody here. Praise God. So, you know, it's hard sometimes for spiritual people, you know, God-fearing, going on with Jesus people, to admit that they might be offended. Many times we let it brew under the surface for a long time. Then one day something triggers it and it comes boiling over. And we give those people a piece of our mind. And many times those that we lash out about to have no idea what we're talking about. They didn't know that they'd done anything. They didn't really do anything. It's just something we sometimes built up. Sometimes those people have no recollection of anything that we bring up. Has that ever happened to anybody? Wow, yeah. They hadn't lost any sleep over what's messing us up. They haven't lost any sleep over it, but we did. It's needless to say, it would be pretty difficult to keep holding on to things that the other person wasn't even aware of. And sometimes we do those. How many of us go through our entire lives holding on to things that the other person was not even aware of? Wow. How many of us, they're not aware of it? And so don't fall into the trap of offense. Don't fall into that trap. Offenses restrict our ability to move on, to move forward. The offense is a cancer. It's a silent killer. You know, offense, when I think of an offense, it's like a fence. Too many people are fenced in by offenses. Our Heavenly Father didn't design us to live as prisoners inside a fence of offenses. You know what a fence sometimes takes away our freedom? We live in a fence and we can't go out, we can't do things, we can't operate like God wants us to because we've got that deal going in. And also fences don't let other people come into our lives. Have you known people that will not let anybody come in and minister to them and love on them and care for them because they've got this bitterness and offense thing that in their life? We need to think for a minute. We need to take a moment sometimes, many times, and just stop and ask the Father, our Heavenly Father, if the fence of offense is there in our hearts. The first step in any healing is the admitting that there's a problem. That's the first sense. You know, I've come to see that offended people fall into two categories. Those who believe they were treated wrong, and those who really were treated wrong. You know, you can believe that you're treated wrong, and it's just as bad as those that you've been treated wrong. It affects you that way. The actual facts, whether one really was treated wrong or whether one believes they're treated wrong, it's really of little consequences. And the devastating and the effects of the offense, what it does to you. Even if it's all in your head and nobody actually treated you bad, if you believe it, you've empowered it. So I'm just saying today that we need to be walking as a people to forgive. And if we think somebody has offended us, forgive them and let it go. Amen? Give it to Jesus. I know Ginger asked the last time we were talking about, you know, it's easy to say, well, I forgive you, but I can't forget it. You know, I've said this before to many, many people. When the thought comes back, just say, I have forgiven that person. in the name of Jesus. You keep doing that, pretty soon you don't think about it anymore. The devil gets tired of you saying, I forgave them in Jesus' name, and placed them under the blood of the Lamb, and he quits bringing that memory back up. I've had it happen. I've seen it over and over and over again. The only cure for offense is for it to be removed from our heart. The only cure for offense is forgiveness. Walk in forgiveness. Remember, forgiveness takes a specific debt that is already manifested. A sin, a hurt, an offense, and sends it away. That's what forgiveness does. Sends it away, causing it to cease to exist. Forgiveness is a spiritual force, like I said, that takes things that are seen and makes them a non-reality. Forgiveness doesn't mean that the other person did was okay. You know, we had an event happen in our farm this past year. A man stole $1 million from us. That's a lot of money. I mean, it was an onion buyer that didn't pay us. He declared bankruptcy and said, I don't owe you any money. I told my son, I said, right now, of course I went through this, I said, we're going to forgive him. And then Benton was closer in this deal than I was. And I said, then you're going to call him up, or when you see him, you say, well, we have forgiven you. That doesn't mean that he doesn't still owe us the money. But we're not going to hold any bitterness. And we're not going to hold anything. So we prayed, he and I did, and forgave the man. You know, it doesn't mean that it's okay that he stole, and I call it stealing. I mean, you know, if somebody owes you $1 million and they say they don't owe you anymore, well, they went bankrupt, so they're not going to pay you, that's basically stealing. But you know what? Sandy can verify this. It blows my mind the goodness of God. We still showed a profit for the year. I mean, it would have been a lot better profit, but but I mean, you know, God is so good that he opened doors, that he did things that compensated, you know, that, isn't that right, Sandy? I mean, she knows because she keeps the books. But anyway, it doesn't mean that they're getting away with it. It does not mean that it does mean that you're releasing yourself from the poison, from the prison of offense. I mean, we could be so bitter, so consumed with that, it could eat us alive. I refuse it. So you forgive. Forgiveness takes that thing and throws it away and cuts it off. Amen? You know, the question is not whether they deserve to be forgiven. The question is, how long do you want to be in prison? In the prison of offense. I mean, somebody does you wrong, forgive them, and so you won't get tied into the prison. You know where the key to prison is? We talked about it a couple weeks ago. Inside of us. That's where the key is. Don't wait for the other person to ask for forgiveness. You know, so many times somebody does something wrong to us and we say, I'm not going to forgive them until they ask for forgiveness. You know? No. You just forgive them. Don't let them be the one that holds the key to your prison cell. You cannot move forward in your relationship with the Father. Ouch. I mean, this really gets it down to the... You can't move forward with your relationship with the Father, if you're holding on to bitterness and unforgiveness, it just won't happen. Jesus felt everything you're feeling and much worse on the cross. And his response was, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. In Luke 23:34. If he could forgive us, we can forgive others. If Christ is in us, then his forgiveness is in us also. So you ask, how do we forgive? How to forgive? Prayer. And lots of it. Ask the Father, the Heavenly Father, to make his forgiveness flow through you. Let the Heavenly Father show you the other person through his eyes. So many times it's so important that we see that person through God's eyes. Don't hang on to the victim syndrome. Don't allow to wallow in self-pity. You know, when we've been hurt, sometimes we just like to wallow in self-pity. Oh, poor little me. They just stepped on me. They did this to me, and they did that to me, and I'm just going to, you know, it's going to make me feel better if I just say, poor little me. You're not a victim. You're an overcomer in Jesus. Amen? We need to say, I'm an overcomer in Jesus. I'm not the victim. And then if possible, and it's always possible, we need to surround ourselves with those who love and respect us, those who care for us. We need to become a part of a body of believers that can encourage and support us. Support you. Rid yourself of bitterness and anger, because it can build a protective wall around you that you don't let anybody come in. I mean, I've been around some people that, you know, you couldn't get close to them for anything because they had so much in them. Nobody else runs around. I mean, nobody else knows anybody like that, do we? No, we do. You know, the bottom line really is, forgive even if the other person has no remorse. And another thing is, don't go dumping your garbage on somebody else. Don't go, did you know what they did to me? Do you know what they did to me? You know what they did? That's being a dumper. And what you're doing is wanting them to pick up your offense. What somebody's done wrong to you, you want somebody else to take it up and become a part of it. Don't do it. You know, so many times I've seen people that they've been offended by someone and are harboring resentment, and they go to someone and tell them all this stuff, and they say, I forgive you, though. And they didn't have a clue that they did anything to you. Maybe they didn't do anything in reality. You just dreamed it up. They didn't have a clue. Don't let dealing with our offenses become an offense to somebody else. The rule of thumb is, there's a rule of thumb. If an offense is where both parties are aware of the circumstance and both parties are involved, then go to the other person and make it right. You following what I'm saying? If both people know that there's been aware of the circumstance, go to the other person and make it right. But if you're offended, and the other person has no idea of your offense. Just something that's, you know, maybe they said some little thing in passing one day that you took an offense of. They didn't mean anything by it. They didn't even know they said anything. This even happens in marriages, you know. I mean, we can say things just flippantly, and it hurts somebody else, and we didn't realize it did. Don't go let it, just forgive them in the name of Jesus. Forgive them and let it go. Forgiveness is perhaps one of the strongest spiritual forces that I've come to see that there is. Remember, it's such a strong thing. Forgiveness takes a specific debt that already exists, a sin, a hurt, an offense, and sends it away, casting it to cease to exist. That hurt will be gone. Forgiveness takes things that are seen and makes them a non-reality. What a powerful thing. What a powerful thing forgiveness is. The power of forgiveness can change the world or the surroundings. The power of the Father's, Heavenly Father's forgiveness toward us and the sacrifice of his son has already changed the world. You just think what Jesus did on the cross for you and I, for the world. When Jesus said, Father, forgive them, because they don't know what they're doing. Wow. It's such a huge issue that Jesus charges us in John 20, verse 23. And I'll read it, Wanda. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they're retained. Wow. What an issue that Jesus is talking about. One, I want you to read 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, verse 18 and 19. Okay, well, I'll read it. Yeah, I'll read it. Okay.
Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation.
What power there is in forgiveness. This is the ministry that the Lord has given us. The ministry of reconciliation. The ministry of reconciliation. To forgive others. To restore others. To bring others into reconciliation. If the Father does not impute trespasses, why should we? Down to earth. Amen. Forgiveness, as I started out at the beginning, is not just a word. It's not just a good idea. It's not just something we're supposed to do. It is the spiritual force that changes things. It can change the world. It can change relationships. It can change your life. But Father, we just thank you. And we magnify you. And Lord, we just ask that that as we realize this, and as you have forgiven, as Jesus said, Father, forgive them because they don't know what they're doing. And Lord, as the Holy Spirit shares with us, and if there's any person that we have not forgiven, or we have an offense against, Lord, let us just forgive them in the name of Jesus. Father, we forgive them. We give them to you. We lay them at your cross and ask that you bless them and you minister to them. And that's part of forgiveness is you pray. You say, I forgive you, and then bless those people. Bless them. God, move in their lives. And Lord, we thank you and we magnify you. Jesus, just work. And Lord, that we can be, as you said in 2 Corinthians, we're to have a ministry of reconciliation, reconciling people to you, reconciling ourselves to you. And Lord, we thank you and we magnify you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. What, dear? Yes, you can share something. If it's short, I mean, we don't want to...